And hello, everyone. I'm Mike Berry with ONC, and I'd like to thank you for joining the Electronic Prior Authorization RFI Task Force. We are glad you can join us, and your feedback, I wanted to note, during this meeting is always welcomed, which could be typed in the chat feature throughout the meeting, or could be made verbally during the public comment period that is scheduled at about 11:20 Eastern Time this morning. So I'd like to begin roll call of our task force members. So when I call your name, please indicate that you are here with us today. And I'll start with our co-chairs, Cheryl Turney.
Good morning.
Cammy Banks.
Good morning.
Hans Bootendeck.
Morning.
Dave DeGandy.
Good morning.
Raj Gopati. Jim Jurgis. Rich Landon.
Good morning.
Heather McComas.
Good morning.
Aaron Neary. Patrick Murda.
Good morning.
Eliel Oliveira.
Good morning.
And Deborah Strickland. All right, thank you everyone. And now please join me in welcoming Cheryl and Tammy for their opening remarks.
Thank you so much, Michael. And we have a very packed agenda today, so I'm going to get right through it. We're going to provide a small update on the summary that we provided to HITECH, which is went very, very well. Then we have a presentation by Hans to discuss the EPA workflow, which hopefully will help us understand a little bit better about the modules and the bundles. And then we're Tammy will lead the working document review. And thank you, everybody, for doing your homework. We're in a really good spot, I think, in terms of getting and gathering comments. Then we're going to have public comment at 11:20, and then we'll discuss our homework and next steps. So we can go to the next slide. This is our work plan and where we are right now, February 24th. We really only have about a week and a half to go, like 10 more days. So, we're coming in for a landing, doing a lot of work trying to get the document in shape for what we're going to submit to HITECH on March 10th. So we will have a PowerPoint presentation as well as our ending recommendations in response to all of the RFI questions. We will have some homework assigned again this week, particularly for folks to look at the sections 4 through 7. And then we'll talk about that a little bit more at the end. We have another meeting next week at the same time. And then our last meeting is actually going to be on, I think, a Monday or Tuesday on March 7th. It's a Monday. So just make sure you note your calendars. That's a different day of the week. Any questions about the work plan? All right, let's get to the HITECH update. We provided an update to HITECH on February 17th. You can see here, there's a link with the slides available. I think overall, we got very positive input from HITECH, particularly on the points of including the patient at the center, trying to incorporate some of the major themes from the intersection of clinical administrative data, and our discussion on how prior authorizations relate to cost estimates and the importance of recognizing that there's various levels of maturity in the PA process. Highlighted on the slide are a few specific areas of discussion, and I'm going to talk a little bit about some of those. Several HITECH members brought up the point of basically cost estimates and the patient's right to understand cost in the prior auth as a part of the requested service. In fact, one member suggested the need to have options for cash pricing and other type of provider options beyond what would be included in a prior auth. You know, I'm going to leave it to this group, but it does seem like that goes way beyond the scope of our charge. We do want to make sure that we have a few statements and how important it is for the patient to have A, options, B, some cost estimate for the approved a prior auth, but also in some cases, providers provide good options for cash pricing if the procedure gets denied. And that's certainly the patient's right to decide to go that route. So again, whatever verbiage we include that speaks to that, I do think it needs to be put in the proper perspective, because having to remember this is not really about cost transparency. It's about getting electronic prior authorizations into a better place where we can better support that digital interchange. Then also there was a discussion around the intersection between, you know, eligible transactions and prior auths. And really what that discussion was all about was having good data upfront related to what requires a prior authorization and what documentation is required for that prior authorization, what substantiation is required, and having that information reviewed annually, timely updated, and then, you know, areas where prior authorizations are likely approved, you know, a large percentage of the time, you know, what about the gold carding process? All those things were also discussed in high tech. And I think the sentiments were they agreed with the points that we had made in the discussions that we had around that topic. The discussion around attachments came up, and that was really related to you know, what we were thinking regarding an attachment requirement, what would be best in terms of recommendations for FHIR if attachments are still necessary, and really what our thinking is in that area, which I think we're going to discuss a little bit more today and formulate more recommendations around that point. And then the last major theme area was really around the point we brought up about the need for a possible exception to the processes to replace the X12 transactions with FHIR to complement or replace. And again, what type of sort of on-ramp we would want to recommend so that we don't add burden by requiring both be done, but we allow for the flexibility for an on-ramp, if you will, so that we can naturally migrate to the more FHIR-based processes as those are available. And I'll ask Tammy, do you want to add anything from you know, what I took away from the conversation?
No, I think you stated it very accurately. And just to underscore the importance that high tech put on the price and cost transparency, understanding when a patient is eligible, when you get that prior authorization, and including the patient in these workflows, which we're not seeing in the workflows that we're discussing today. It's just very important for any standard development organization or anybody looking at these to really begin to realize the patients want it today. They don't want it after we get the other solution in place. So you'll see when we get the complete document for you to review additional language that was putting in, embellishing on the points that you already made. They were very pleased with the conversations, especially about the conversations about thinking about the treatment plan and the bundle of services, you know, really, you know, requesting payers to take a look at this from a episode of care perspective versus a single service durable medical equipment item. And so I think they really appreciated the patient-focused conversations that are having, but we just have to figure out how to get moving in those gaps that we currently have today.
Yeah. So,
sorry, just to embellish, because it was pretty important on that call.
Yeah, and I want to reinforce the a point that you made, and that is that overall, we got very positive responses, both verbally and in the chat. So we're definitely on the right track, and everyone is looking forward to the results of our RFI input. So I think with that, are there any comments from the subcommittee before we move on? I don't see any hands raised. So then why don't you, Tammy, you want to introduce Hans in the discussion?
I'm really excited. Hans and I had a conversation, and Hans has been very vocal on the point very accurately that there's a lot of different vendors that are part of, can be part of the piece of the complete workflow. And so he's going to walk through and really put a visual to that statement, which will really help set us up for continued discussion 1.1 to 1.3. So as you're listening to his presentation, be thinking about that section of RFI questions that we wish to flesh out. Hans, again, you put amazing amount of work in this. Really appreciate it.
Thank you very much. And thank you for the opportunity to step through it. The thoughts that are in here are still being evolved, I think, through the discussion that we have. I'm engaging with the EHRA to get different perspectives there as well. So do not take these as final suggestions, but rather as awareness and where we might be thinking. The other part is that, and that really starts with, if you go to the next slide, is where this is coming from, is that to date, when we, since EPA is being talked about here, not only about the capabilities, but also how that relates to certification, based on the experience that we've had with certification to date, with EHR specifically, that have been the focus, and it's being widened at this point in time. It's not just about EHRs anymore. And EPA is a very good example of that. So what we see is that if we just take that flow and then say, where, if we are putting in HIT, where are things being initiated? What we're starting to see, and what we have also, as DaVinci has been starting to look at it, with the guides, that it can be initiated in a variety of different places. It's not just the EHR, as that is not a monolithic entity. It could be started in a scheduling environment where I want to schedule something. Can I actually do it? Do I need to have prior authorization? Registration, be it at the beginning or at the end of an admission, can I extend it? Utilization management, case management, other type of areas. Clearly EHR when you start to place an order as well. But these kind of capabilities are not necessarily housed in one system. So that's on the front end, just initiating it. Then the supporting data that is needed to support the claim, yes, a lot of that data is expected to be in the EHR, but not necessarily everything, or there might be better sources out there based on how health systems might have organized their IT environment. So an HIM might have some documents that EHR reference, but not necessarily store inside the EHR. So there are different systems in play. Or there might be some other areas where you have a more longitudinal perspective that I can pull that data in as well, or have access to more. So that would be another one, that supporting data, yes, most in the EHR, but not necessarily everything. And then once we get the authorization back, there is the interest to get the data ready to submit with the claim at the right time, so to recognize that. Well, that means that we're starting to look at some of the back office kind of capabilities, revenue cycle, practice management, et cetera. Up till this point, with these couple of things, don't think limited to these. There are a variety of different places, depending on whether you have a smaller organization, you might find less systems. If you have a large health system, you find more systems, and anything in between. And I'm only looking at the provider side. I'm not looking at the payer side, where I understand similar situations or maybe in play, but I'm only looking at the provider side. And the last one is that we're also seeing that as we started with DaVinci, that smart apps have a very interesting and unique opportunity and role in this as well. So they coming into play as well to help facilitate some of this. If you go to the next slide, the general picture that then comes from that you can think of is that we are talking in the middle about capability one through N. That's where we're going back and forth. What are really the pieces of the puzzles, just looking functionally? And then on the right-hand side, we see is that there are a number of implementation guides, standards, CRD, DTR, PAS are the DaVinci ones that are currently in place. But depending on how you're looking at it, I may only need to look at SMART or CDS hooks or Fire US Core. Yes, they're all referenced in CRD, DTR, PAS, but depending on what you're doing is that you might not have to support all of CRD or DTR, et cetera. So that's why I put them just next to it to keep them in mind. Again, not talking about the payer side. There have been some comments made, Rich has made some comments that similar situations exist on that side. Again, not looking at that right here. But on the left-hand side, you see is that I can have the different type of HIT in the front office, scheduling, registration, the data sources, the clinical, where most of the supporting information might be, and the back office. And there may or may not be smart apps or intermediaries in the middle to help facilitate. So these capabilities are distributed somewhere across these, depending on what is happening and where you start and how you go through it. So if you go to the next slide, then you see is that these are just a couple of the different ways in which these capabilities might be distributed. You might have scheduling and registration by one HIT supplier, and the EHR by another, and a revenue cycle by somebody else. It's possible. We see it out there. You might have the scheduling and registration combined with the EHR and others, but the revenue cycle, the back office is somewhere else, et cetera. These are just four different ways on the right-hand side. Everything is in one system. That happens too. So there are many different ways in which this could be put together, depending on the size, the type of organization, how they came together, through mergers, acquisitions, otherwise, all kinds of different ways that are out there. So we really have to keep that in mind, that visual, that we are not necessarily dealing with trying to figure out EPA on one system, EHR, and we're done. We need to figure out how this works where there's multiple HIT in place, because different aspects, different capabilities of the EPA flow naturally then fall in a particular IT environment that's currently in place. And that's the reality of where we are. And that's how that has grown. If you go to the next slide. So the challenges, therefore, that we are looking at, we see that the DaVinci IGs that are being asked about, they really address the main interactions necessary for EPA. There is nobody's really going to question that. But the question becomes more is that if I'm now going to try to introduce certification to the process, and understanding over the last 10, 12 years what certification does, how that works, and what that means if you're going to be subjected to that, that means is that we really need to be very crisp about what the expectation is that you're going to do. And so far, most of the certification criteria only needed to be satisfied by a singular system, EHRs predominantly. And yes, there were some relied upon software scenarios out there, but by and large, it was a singular system that needed to be able to do this. And we were not looking at the other side of the equation of what other systems may need to do with it. EPA is clearly an example where that's not true anymore. We now need to look at a more complex workflow to make that happen. So that means that the guides that we have need to be very clear that if we say that parts of it are actually satisfied by different HIT, then we need to understand what are those parts so that the HIT that is attempting to be certified can do so correctly against the right subset of that IG, not the entire IG. They may, but they shouldn't have to in order to just satisfy what they need to do. So that's the one of the key parts is that it's not necessarily about are the interactions there or not, but do we really understand the distribution across capabilities that we are defining to understand what would be necessary if your HIT only does part of the flow, not everything. So that's the second bullet there is that you need to have valid and demonstrated distribution of capabilities. Because you do not need to fully support every IG to be participant and a contributor to that flow. So at the same point in time now, flipping it around and not looking at the HIT, but looking in the other direction, certifying one system for their role in the EPA, it does not yield the overall value of what we're looking for with certification. which is where we are trying to make sure that all the pieces of the puzzle work and that we have end-to-end capabilities. So that creates complexity that we're not used to yet. So that also indicates that all or none should be subject to certification effectively, because if you're only going to focus on one system, say your piece of the puzzle, what do you do, is certified, but the other side or the other parts are not, are we still sure that everything works together? So we need to look at, if we look at certification of EPA, we need to look at all parties that that are playing a role in there. So it should not just be part of what has been called CEHRT to date, and still is a very common term, but the, also the term that is more appropriate and that is, has been introduced by ONC clearly in the last round that we're currently focusing on, is CHRT, Certified Health IT, so that we can recognize it's not just about EHRs, it's about all the different systems that are part of it. And it can be fewer, but it can also be more based on the reality. So if we then go through that and to the next slide, and this is an initial sketch that says we have these capabilities. On the left-hand side is not a literal list of the ones that are that were in the RFI. There is a slight adjustment to that based on our interpretation so far that we feel that might look that way. Plus that there is one in there that we have some questions around whether that is really appropriate or not. So we'll come back to that. That's the yellow one. The other ones are a reasonable representation of what's there and subject to the discussions that we have. On the right-hand side, you see the different guides that are in place that exist in for fire with the three ones in green, CRD, DTR, and PASS that we're talking about mostly, but the other ones to provide context. So the sense is, if you go to the next slide, is that when you look at this and say, now, how do I map to that? It looks like that we need to be able to organize those guides in smaller chunks. This one is representing 9 chunks. We can argue whether it should be 8 or it should be 10, and that's perfectly okay. This is not meant to be a final proposal in that regard, but it's more than the 3 that we have. We need to organize these guides into ways that we can say, what particular parts do they really support? There is somewhat of a close alignment on the left-hand side, but you'll see that it's that as we run through it, from these capabilities to what are now these building blocks that we can then associate with certification, what that looks like. So we went through, if you go to the next slide, a little bit of a compare and say, let's look at 2 examples of how these capabilities can be distributed across IT, HIT. The first one to have a brief look at is the provider HIT with the smart app manages the EPA flow, and the other one is doing it without the smart app. And where would you start to look at to where it would occur? And kept at that point in time the focus on an EHR, but as we talked about earlier, some of the things could be done by a scheduling system or by a registration system that initiated. Those variations I did not create. We can do that as well, but these are probably the 2 relative extremes on one side or the other. And then there are many variations in between that could occur, but they all seem to go back to needing to use those building blocks in those ovals in the middle. So with that in mind, you can go to the next slide. If you now assume that I'm going to have either an EHR or a registration or a scheduling system, and I'm going to make a comment about registration and scheduling in a moment in this context, is that if you can go to the next slide, I already jumped on my own slide deck there. If you look at that as an EHR initiator, I have to be able to initiate a smart app. That's reasonable. So that's the dark blue on the left with the white text pointing to, in order to do that capability, I need to be able to have a building block of initiating a smart app, the oval in the middle, dark blue with white text. And in order to do that, I need to be able to, certainly a little bit to the right, support smart, And then depending on how far is necessary, the CDS hooks is the cleaner way to help initiate that smart app with the right information. But it's actually possible, we've done it in Connectathons, to just start the smart app and let them go back and get the rest of the information that they need to do to now go to the next step, request authorization, and the necessity of that, the actual query to the payers. That's really what the biggest chunk of CRD is. You don't see an arrow from capability one to request authorization necessity. Because the EHR need not do that. That could be done by the smart app. And that's fully described in the CRD. Then the notification back to say, hey, I need certification or not, or authorization or not. I need to somehow get that back. So here you can see is that three different things that are in play here. The CRD covers everything. But if I'm only an EHR and I don't need to talk to the payer, because a smart app on the next slide is going to do, don't go to the next slide, by the way, but on the next slide when we go there, is that the smart app does, I don't need to do it. So am I really clear what the building blocks are in here to do these? Now, if I then continue with that and say, hey, the smart app is really in the middle, the EHR is not going to request documentation requirements. So the capability two is not pointing to that. It is the smart app that's going to do it. So no need to support DTR. But you need to be accessible to get data to support the request. So, but the only thing that you really need for that is FHIR-US Core, none of the rest of DTR. So how do I know what that is? And that's fairly easy to state, but I don't need to do anything in DTR. So that's the kind of flow to go through and say is that, hey, this is what's happening on the left-hand side. The dark blues are the ones that really the EHR needs to do. Actually, I should have kept registration and scaling somewhat out, because they're not likely going to be the ones to access the supporting documentation. So there you see is that if that's where it starts, now I have the scheduling and the registration that need to do the first. I need to start the smart app. I need to get at the end. I want to get the information back. They have a notification interest as well, but they are not necessarily the source for the supporting documentation. I need to go elsewhere. So if you jump to the next slide, on the other hand, now the smart app is part of this configuration. They need to do a lot. So they're pretty much going to be supporting everything in the CRD, DTR, PAS. And if you go to the next slide, you see that it is a lot more light colored instead of the dark blue, is that you see that other source systems, they only need to be able to be accessible to get the data. And if you go to the last of this series, the next one, you look at the revenue cycle back office. In this kind of distribution, they need only be able to receive the response back, because everything else is taken care of by somebody else. So that's the kind of environment where that you can see here. I'm going to come back to the yellow statement in a moment. So that's one example. Now flipping it, so let's go to the next slide, and that's just the title, and then, so there's no smart app in the middle. You'll see that the EHR was now chosen to be the primary coordinator. They now need to do a lot more. They don't need to initiate the smart app. They already are capable to get to some other things, so now there's a lot of things that they can take on. But depending on where you are or what you're trying to do, they shouldn't have to support everything from the start, because there are other ways to do it. So this is where that how many of the building blocks do you need question comes in. And that becomes an interesting question. If you then go to the next slide, you still have other systems that you may have to tap in for additional information. And then at the end, in this particular case, variant is that, yeah, the revenue, next slide, is that the revenue cycle still does the same thing. So just two ends of the spectrum in a way, where these building blocks, these parts of CRD and DTR and PAS, that depending on how you go about it, that you move forward and where we are at, is that you may start out with relying a lot on smart app, and you may grow over time that you do a bit more in the EHR, but not necessarily everything. You need to be worried about other systems that initiate as well, a scheduling system or a registration system. you need to be worried about that the EHR is not the sole repository of all the information that you might be interested in. It creates a bit of a complex environment that the intent of the building blocks is to have reusable chunks that certification can then be tied to if we go that path, that can recognize what it is, which means we need to subdivide the CRD, DTR, PAS, not by breaking up the IG, but by recognizing which pieces of those puzzle are relevant so that I can, if I tie them to certification criteria, I can tie them specifically, scope them, and I know exactly what I am supposed to be able to do. And then I can support one or more building blocks or not. That's up to you then to determine what's the best way to move forward. And the combination needs to totally work from a provider perspective. Otherwise, that's not going to work either. You cannot just show up with one thing and that's it. There is a side question mark, is that the review and sign, and we'll come back to that in the discussion on e-signature. There is really a question that we are struggling with, is that if we are on this path of automation, interacting with the payer, getting the information back on what is needed, and we can get that information automatically using FHIR APIs to get to it, what's the purpose of an initiating provider to still then, on top of that, do a review and a signature of that data before it goes out to submit? So there are some questions that are going to come back there. Put it in the picture, but don't want to highlight it too much today further. So when you go to the next slide, a couple of considerations that come out of that rather complex and that puzzle that we're trying to put together. Again, we don't think that the DaVinci IGs are sufficiently granular, that when you go to certification criteria where we must have unambiguous statements of what is required to support, what interactions they are, what the guidance is, to do that in a multiple HIT environment, which we will and which we are, we need to be more granular. And that can be done inside the existing guides, but that needs to be fleshed out a bit more. Additionally, is that we have seen a variety of different configurations and approaches there, but there's still some maturation to be done in production to really see is that yes, it works, and we know that this can flow. All indications are that we can do it. We've seen it. We are interacting with the smart apps in that way, in a couple of different contexts. But the exact boundaries of the necessary building blocks, I have not been totally settled. During the DaVinci projects, we have been working with individually to say that, hey, this is the piece that I'm able to do. This is the piece that you can do. So that has been talked about and negotiated, if you will, individually. But now we need to formalize that to understand that, yes, those are the building blocks. So that we can also say is that from a provider perspective, we need to make sure that we have all building blocks in play across the HIT. One could do a lot of it. Multiple could do it, but all need to be there to make it work. And therefore, these building blocks that you saw in the slides, they are our current interpretation of what we think the boundaries look like. But they might not be totally agreed to. That would be quite understandable given where we're at. So it's not a consensus that it reflects, but we are in a situation where there is a ballot open right now as of last Monday on these guides. So this is a perfect opportunity to provide input and feedback into those around, can we organize the guides a little bit more along the lines of, or that we are able to recognize what these key building blocks are that could be distributed across HIT, that then can be used at the, for certification purposes and clarity in that regard. Which gets us to the last slide. Well, the next one is that a sketch of that. And again, this is just some initial thoughts that we started to talk about in the context of the EHRA. So it has that perspective of having been involved with certification and to date in that area generally. We could think about multiple stages where the provider is provided with a functional requirement to be active in the EPA. We could look at the, and that states that the, on the payer side, and again, did not further address it, so I fully expect comments there and considerations there, but that on the payer side, we have these standards in play so that we know what we are aiming for, so that this is not going to be, hey, let's everybody just go off on their own. We know that there is a target there. But then on the provider HIT side, is that do not start out with certification criteria with precise boundaries. We're still trying to figure out what that is. But having the APIs available on the payer side, we know what we're aiming for when you interact, but we're not sure yet exactly who is doing what piece. We have that flexibility to work with. So be very careful starting on the provider HIT side with certification criteria, because that locks it down too quickly based on the maturity that we have. But then in the stage two is that where we now have that experience, we understand how it all can work together in production, not just in connectathons and initial rollouts, is that we can say that, yeah, now we are more comfortable to say that now we know exactly what we can certify against. And then you can move towards the provider overall with incentives or other programs. It says that, hey, not only a functional requirement that can play in, but the use of certified HIT, because now we know that we can get there. Another consideration that is not instead of, but in addition to, focusing on CRD and PAS first, followed by DTR, document templates and collecting supporting information is the more complicated part of this, the workflow that is needed on, do I have everything immediately? Do I need to have some manual follow-up? I need to get some additional data, et cetera, et cetera. All those things are more complex in this path. Is there a stepping stone that in combination with the first thoughts that we state that as well, so that the initial focus is primarily on CRD and PAS? Absolutely continue to move forward with DTR and learning about it, but don't put a strict a certification requirement around that, because that's where the major challenges are going to be. So those are the thoughts, trying to put the complexity of the EPA that is going well beyond what we've seen in certification to date, because it involves multiple HIT, trying to visualize that a little bit more. It might not be the most perfect slides there, but hopefully that helps and give a better context of why the thoughts are in these last two slides of how can we stage this in a way, because there's still parts to learn and take advantage of the current ballot cycle. Three more weeks to go, I think, to provide this input to help improve on the ability to support parts of them, depending on what HIT you are. I'm going to stop there and
appreciate it, Hans. I'm going to set some guide rails around these questions so that we can move a little bit quicker. But really appreciate the visual with what is the revenue cycle management versus the EHR versus the FHIR app, and who takes over, you know, the different functional capabilities. Now, one thing we are going to go in our conversation is talk about the functional criteria that's contained in the CRD and PAS. So we will flesh that out a little bit further. So I think we can hold those types of questions. Is there any questions for Hans in regards to the workflow and the minimum requirements that he mentioned, recognizing that we are going to have that conversation as soon as we're finished with the questions? And I just have one question if no one does. You, Hans, you recommended or questioned the need for the digital signature. Is that more from a technical perspective, thinking it can be automated? Because from a patient perspective, I want to make sure my patient or my physician reviews my record and make sure it's accurate before it gets pulled. Could you just kind of expand on, you know, your thought process in regards to that? Is it more technical automation focus, or is it more business need and quality control?
It is more the burden that may introduce as we progress, that for a particular service item, something that needs to be pre-authorized, when you send that, there is a set of data that is relevant to support that. And our aim over time is to have the collection of that data as automated as possible. So the more that those rules and the data is based on what's already collected in the systems that I can therefore pull using FHIR APIs, the more that that is more structured, well-defined, then I can automate more and require less interaction by user to gather that data. Once I have now reached for a particular item, that ability, it only needed to know, was there a result of a particular kind in the last 3 months, and then it's authorized or not, if it's at that kind of a scale. If I can do that, do I want to reintroduce the user into that flow to say, did we get that right? So that's the thought behind it. What does that really mean? And is it more that it needs to come from, we know that this is coming from a trusted environment, so it's more of a organizational system level a statement that we did that? And if there is sufficient transparency into what data is needed for what authorization, do we really need that level of interruption, quote unquote, by a user to revalidate that this is the right data that came along? So that's where the question comes in, is that really the intent? Because if we put in an e-signature requirement on that data set that is going to come along, that means that we need to reintroduce the user into the flow, which then is going to possibly delay. Is that really necessary for what we're trying to do? That's where the question is coming from.
Girl? Hi, Tammy. I think I had my hand up and then Patrick, but...
Patrick's right after you there.
Yeah. But the point that I wanted to raise was that in the flow, really good pictures, I think it gives us another dimension and another way to look at it. But the communication back and forth with the patient is really left out of that whole process. And I do think it's fair to say that the patient access API doesn't have any workflow at all for passing prior authorizations or anything at this point. So we may need to include the updates of that implementation guide as necessary as part of this process.
I completely agree that for purposes of this conversation, I did not include that because part of the discussion still needs to happen. Where does it fit or not? No need to go back on the slides, but when you look at particularly the PaaS monitoring, the request status is one of the places where the question is that should that also be accessible and usable, not only by a provider system, but by a consumer app? And in order to do that, what are the additional interactions to enable the consumer app, if you will, to be able to know what authorization they're actually looking for and which payer to ask for. So those are the additional flows that are currently not necessarily as clearly defined in the guides as well, whether it's a carving out or otherwise, but that would be certainly at that point in time additional steps to take.
All right, shall we go to Patrick?
Yep, and I'll be brief. And Tammy and Chair, if you need to cut me off to move on, feel free. But you know, Hans, as you were talking about the DTR app or lack of DTR running in the EHR, or the clinical space, I was a little bit. And thank you for putting this together, by the way. But I was a little confused by your description, and maybe if you could spend a few seconds on it, that you were saying that if the DTR app is there, it's one level of complexity or abstraction in the EHR. But there may be a whole new level of complexity in the EHR if the DTR app is not there or not needed. And I tend to think of this as a set of capabilities that are defined by the IG, and the DTR app is really meant to reduce the complexity on the EHR by just simply, not simply, but if the EHR supports SMART and also has FHIR interoperability or CQL, whatever, then you're actually lessening the burden on the EHR. So I was a little, can you explain what you meant by DTR app is there or the DTR app is not there?
The thing is that there's a couple of parts that if the EHR is able to initiate the smart app can go out and pull the documentation requirements once it identifies that it needs to get authorization. It goes out, it gets the CQL and the question and or questionnaire back. It can translate it into FHIR calls that can go out to the EHR. So at that point in time, the EHR need not support CQL, need not support questionnaire. It only needs to support 5 years core and as it expands to be able to have that data accessible that the smart app can pull out and pull together and into a questionnaire response, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, and go from there. So that is part of it. Once you start to get into the process of what data do I need and begin to identify that I cannot pull everything automatically. I need to maybe do it over time. I need to do it manually. I need to do other things. That's where the complexity comes in of the workflow, the management, the back and forth, et cetera, that makes the DTR process just generally as a process more complex. That's where I was not as clear that it's not necessarily the IG capability that are defined, the interactions, but the sequence in between is that when I say, well, I cannot go any further, I need a manual person to interact, or I need to have a handoff, or I'm panning, or I find out I need to get additional information. That's where that managing the workflow, making sure it progresses, the handoffs where it becomes more challenging, where we do know that people have made progress, but everybody is at different stages there to make that happen. They fully rely on a smart app. They have already done some of it, but not all of it. That's where the complexity is coming.
Got it. Thanks.
Does that help?
Yes. Thank you.
All right. With that, any other questions? Otherwise, we're going to go further into 1.3 questions. And the first question that I really want to talk about is the one module versus individual criteria. Now, I received some clarification, and Alex, please jump in. If there's additional questions on this, but typically no more than one vendor is certifying to each HIT module, but they could certify to multiple criteria, okay? So if we look at a module type approach, we would need to continue down the line of fleshing out which groups of the capabilities might be performed by a separate app. Or, so if we just had a module and an app would have to, meet that criteria or the EHR or the revenue cycle. And then also the other option is when we look at this criteria, we've been really good at looking at the universe of healthcare stakeholders and how do we make sure that this functional criteria is across the table, right? With the payer, with the vendor, and with the provider to ensure that accurate information exchanges and a complete successful prior authorization occurs quickly. And so with that, you'll see when you look through the final document for review that we included, not final, but the first draft, it includes language about payer certification or payer accountability. Okay, it's a better word than certification to this piece, as well as there could be a provider piece like meaningful use, right? Promoting interoperability requires the exchange of certain type of documents with those functional criteria. So there's other stakeholders that we can think about to complement the functional criteria that we lay out either in a single or multiple module approach. And Alex, from my understanding, there can be individual criteria or there can be a module approach, right? So can there be both?
Yep, I think that's right. Just want to, remind folks that requirements on providers to use this are not part of the ONC certification program, but rather other authorities in HHS that point to certification, use of certified technology.
And the only reason to bring that up is there, in the concern with the one module, is providers need that complete functional criteria to be available and usable in order to make the prior auth work. And so that is one option to make sure that happens. So the questions to the group and the discussion here is, I took all the comments everybody has and we fell in two camps. One is the one module, which the majority of people fell into. And then we also had the separate criteria. And with the separate criteria, again, it was still in support of the full automation. But anyway, before we go through both of these, David, you laid out the separate criteria in a way that pulled out the functional criteria for each of the guides. Okay. Could you run through that? I think some of us on the call are not familiar with what the actual functional criteria is encompassed in a guide. And when we say CRD or PAS, we don't see the granular level that Hans needs to get to.
Right. And that granular level that Hans shown is accurate and representative of what actually happens.
So. Oh, yeah. So like, if you want to just kind of go through how you broke this down with your recommendation of the single versus modular approach, and I have it up on the screen.
Right. Yeah. So the difference between the singular and modular approach, which would be the EHR doing the work itself or Smart on Fire, would be the modular approach, I believe, is it requires the EHR to expose the needed functionality to the Smart on Fire app in order to manage the automation, the flow of the order for authorization through the workflow in the EHR. Ideally, the EHR single module would kick off a CDS hook automatically based on the order submit kind of thing, or you know, whatever event's appropriate for a specific EHR. I don't know the actual event names. I'm just saying that's what would happen. So I don't know if that makes sense or not, but
okay. So that's what would happen with the CRD,
right? The CDS hook would kick off the EHR automation, or a Smart on Fire app would have to be launched by an administrative provider for the Smart on Fire option.
Or from the hook.
Yeah, it can be from the hook.
It comes from the hook. Right. So maybe if I could just add a little color commentary to what Dave was saying,
that
if
you don't mind, Dave.
Is, you know, so, and I'm transparently in support of individual module or individual testing and certification with an overall certification as well. So and the reason for that is really two things. You've got discrete atomic parts of the flow, which can be tested. The CDS hook, which is invoked by, you know, order sign or order request or whatever that happens in the EHR, invokes a discrete unit of work with the payer, right? Prefetch and a CDS hook, and then the API responds with a CDS card that says, for Patrick Murda, for orthopedic surgery, I'm totally making this up, prior authorization is required or not. And here is a link to the Smart app for additional medical necessity documentation processing, right? So you can test and certify, from my perspective, that CDS hook interaction on its own, right? That's a standalone feature. And also it allows flexibility in incremental rollouts. So for example, even in today's world, many payers have that functionality or will have that functionality in play while they're building the other DTRs or the PAS, right? So it allows functional or incremental progress on discrete units of work, discrete units of the different implementation guides. So you got the CDS hook that says prior auth is required or not, and a link to a Smart on Fire application, which could be which will be provided by the payer, or to Hans's point, another HIT provider on the part of the payer, which now is interacting with the EHR and is either doing, you know, a fire query to get additional information or CQL or whatever the case may be. So again, that's a testable component. Does between the EHR and the payer, does the Smart on Fire app invoke and can it address the local fire APIs or with CQL or whatever the case may be? That's a testable thing. Third piece is, all right, we've got enough information. We've got, you know, we know prior authorization is required. We've got an indicator on the CDS response on the card that medical necessity documentation was required. We've collected that. Now we can submit a fire bundle to an intermediary, to an HIT provider per Hans's presentation earlier, directly to the payer. And that again is a discrete unit of work, right? So you've got at least three things there. And so you can be certified individually on those. And then when you can prove I've got all three individual certifications, then you get the super gold star that says you are now, you know, prior auth certified.
We all like super gold stars.
And maybe Tammy, if I may jump in there, agreed with Patrick on just about everything, but a question on the first part, that's a small one, and the last part. The initiation of the smart app, indeed, CRDS hooks would have the appropriate capabilities there. And we would need to understand from CRD what exactly is that, so you can point to that and say, that's what you need to do. Then we're clear on that so that you can be certified against that. There may still be a little bit of a debate, and we have seen it that it can work, but it's not as clean for sure. Is that the that you just need to initiate the smart app, and the smart app comes back using Fire, US Core, and coverage resources to pull the rest of the data that you otherwise would have given on the CDS hook. It's more user interaction, but it is actually a smaller step than CDS hooks. Just to recognize that. On the back end, the necessity is done, and I have it. There is a clarification of it's one thing that the smart app at that point in time or the other HIT can continue, but you would like to go back to the party, the EHR, the scheduling system, the registration system, and say is that, yes, you need be aware this one needs authorization, so that is going to kick off, or no, it doesn't, keep on going. So they may control at that point in time, am I going to put something on the hold or not? What that notification looks like, we need to be clear as well, is that if they started it with the CDS hooks, then it's more clear. If they didn't start that way, what does it look like? So I think those are the kinds of things that are we all clear on what those subsets are, so I can be certified against that. The overall gold star part of it is the bigger question. And I'm not sure whether I heard you right that you said is that we need at the individual items certification criteria. I think we're completely in sync there. We might quibble some of the boundaries, but I think we're in sync on the on that. But what would a certification overall mean? Because I might have 3, 4, 5, 6 different HIT in the entire flow to make that work. What does that mean? And that's, I think, the hard part of these kind of more complicated workflows on how to do that. Because the concept is good in a way. When you look at it from the perspective of the provider needs to make sure that all pieces are in play. But whose responsibility is it? How do we make sure that we know in order to make it really work, we need these 9 capabilities and all the HIT pieces that are contributing to that contribute enough that it works in total. Where do you put that responsibility? Because the provider has
I just want to put guide rails around our conversation right now, because where you're saying is exactly where we have to go, but we're not there yet. We got to take our steps to get there. And so right now, what I want you to keep in your mind is we are focused on health IT across all vendors. So I know some of you are saying Smart on Fire, some of you are saying EHR. We are vendor agnostic right now. Take your hat off. It doesn't matter who's doing what. We're going to drive on what is the functional criteria, and I have another spreadsheet we're going to get to, and we're going to drive to what do we think is minimal, and then we'll get to what is the actual specificity of that functional criteria. Then we can move into what goes into which module, if time permits, or if we get extended time to do that. But we have to get our baseline set first. So Heather, you have a comment?
Yeah, and I won't take much time because I think I'm just echoing what Hans just said. I think I'm getting this modular approach, and you need each of these pieces put together. But as Hans has said, from the provider perspective, you need the whole thing to work. But the question is, who would be certifying that piece? I mean, to Patrick's point, I mean, I get the super gold certified is what the physician wants to know, because if just one piece of it works, it's going to fizzle out, and they're not going to be able to do the prior authorization process. But so I think that overall approach is needed. I'm just not clear, like as Hans said, who would be getting that super gold star certification if there's all these different kind of players involved. So, but I don't want to derail us. It sounds like that's a step ahead of where we are right now.
Right. And that's where we're going to back into, but we do have to remember on our principle, we'd all agree that the provider who was ever purchasing this product is going to be responsible, right, for ensuring that they have the complete prior auth package. Because we need to make sure that the provider has the option to either do a PMS revenue cycle or a EHR or a Smart on Fire or any of these combinations. And so that complexity we're going to have to talk about too, right? Because there's more than, it's not as easy as I just said that. Raj?
Yeah, I think listening to the comments, I'm a little bit worried that we are going in circles in a way that what is the value to the provider's end of the day, right? I mean, the prior auth workflow is complex. It goes from one end to another end, and the value is measured at every point. So like the previous calls, the maturity need to be there. It probably will take, you know, a couple of years to get there. So what can we discreetly identify part of this certification as a first step while we are thinking all the capabilities, while we are thinking about other HAT systems, while we are thinking about every possible thing? We have to lay the ground as a starting point. And as long as we focus there, I think we'll achieve something.
Hey, Raj, we're going to get there. You're ahead of us.
Okay.
Okay. So the question now is, we had some comments that were for the one module because we need that uniform workflow. And I think we're all in agreement, regardless if it's one model or individual, there needs to be some type of criteria oversight body to ensure that all that functionality is available and will be able to move, not just with the health IT, but with the payers and be used by the providers. So for right now, can we just focus on the health IT piece? Anybody have any comments on the individual versus one module, or do we need a combination based on bundling what each of these, what would be the complete minimum functional capabilities that would have to be provided across one or more vendors? I think we all agree with the separate criteria for that we would bundle. But the question is, do we also think we should have a one module certification that then would provide an option for one or more health IT vendors to pair up, right?
When you say one module, if we have the individual capabilities clearly understood, currently distributed across the three IGs, that if you certified against all of them, now I'm effectively your one module.
Right.
So, and if we recognize that, then I think within that, we do go back to the question that Raj raised, another raised, myself raised, is that what's the right division of those capabilities? And what is that overall, quote unquote, gold star on the provider side, on the whatever side, to make sure is that I have a good understanding to know what I need to do to make sure that I have all capabilities in play, whether it's done through one module by somebody or distributed across multiple HIT by multiple.
Right. Sorry, I didn't raise my hand, but I think I like what Hans said and you said, Tammy. I think keeping the certification criteria in chunks, and then somebody can say, collectively, we did all of them, because that's the way to collaborate and keep the ball rolling.
Okay, so did I capture anybody in disagreement with this statement here? One module with specific functional criteria to allow individual functional capability that could be performed across multiple health IT vendors. Again, written much better. This is just on the fly trying to get the basic. And then I can take all your comments and frame it around there for wordsmithing.
I think it's module, right? Module.
Heather?
Yeah, I mean, I think that looks right. Not to get ahead, but is the gold card, the gold level certification. I mean, I guess my concern is, how do we make sure that all these different pieces are working together? Whose responsibility is that? Because from a provider perspective, if I have all nine pieces, but they're not working together, who's the one who's going to ensure that the package I have works as a whole entity? I guess I'm not sure where how that is going to be handled.
Okay. Can we go into the functional criteria piece and then see if we can back into it? I'm trying to figure out how to take this in a step-by-step approach because it's just so much information. What I did is I took the ONC RFI functional capabilities and I highlighted each of those functionality, and because we agreed or had in our task force recommendations each one of these points. I know Hans raised the digital signature as a question at this point on if that should be minimal criteria. I did not flag that here, but we can include that in our conversation. Then I took Hans's demo of all the criteria that he, or functional criteria that he mentioned. Everything that he mentioned was in the original question from the RFI. So then what I did to try and just to get you us all on the same page is I put the functional criteria that we have that are compiled comments from our group on what this functional criteria could be. And David, that's why I had you and Patrick go through the PAS and the DMC, because I don't know how granular that functional capability is, which you laid out. And so the question is, I'm thinking we're in agreement, and I want to double check, anything that's highlighted that matches what was in the RFI, are we in agreement that that needs to be included as minimal criteria first? Is there anybody who's in disagreement with that?
Are you sharing a different screen or different form? Because we don't
You don't see my spreadsheet?
Oh. No, we still have the Word document or the document.
Oh man, I was showing you some good stuff. Okay, now why is that? Just a second, I don't know how to. Okay, so you're seeing this. Okay, how do I stop share?
Yeah, stop.
Okay, just a second, I apologize, folks. It's really pretty. I shouldn't say that because then you won't think it was by the time I get there.
While you're transitioning, can I ask my question?
You sure can.
All right. So the certification, is it currently against a software vendor provider, or is it against a provider installation?
It's against a software solution that may... there is a base EHR capabilities, and then there are other capabilities beyond that that an HIT may opt to certify against some or all. You don't have to certify against everything always. And that is typically driven by for what you're trying to do and your client base, what is actually most critical, most important, not needed ever, whatever that might be. So it is against the software. And it is again from software configurations.
And, right.
Okay, so just the highlighted squares is what the ONC RFI functional criteria they asked about. And then the highlighted in this middle section is what Hans mentioned. The only thing that really wasn't expressly in there was the additional request for information after information was sent. But I figure that functional capability is within the other pieces. So I didn't pull that out. And then I highlighted in our recommendations that functional criteria that meets the grayed out areas under the RFI and Hans. And I'm just asking is if that functional criteria that Hans went through minus the digital signature, because that's a comment up for debate, do you agree that that is all minimum functionality that we need to recommend? Can we blanket that and just agree that's minimum, no matter what health, vendor agnostic, can we agree with that and then move into those areas that would be additional criteria? Hans?
Yeah, just generally, I would react as yes, but I don't think you shared this spreadsheet in an email out, did you, or did
I miss it? This is on the Google Docs. All I did is took the functional criteria that everybody put forward, and I put it in this document. So I'm trying to just do a blanket. Do we agree that functional criteria that Hans went through and that is mentioned in the RFI, do we all agree that that is minimal? Let's forget about who's doing it. Forget about the specifics of CDS hook and how. Do we agree that this functional criteria needs to be in our recommendation as minimum? And then we'll go through the additional functional criteria that's listed to see if that should be added in minimum. We will get to the specificity, This is one step to get there.
So the comment that I would have that I'm not sure as it falls in the latter part or the first part is that I think is missing is the initiation of the smart app. And the notification on row 9 is actually not the equivalent of what you have in the ONC column.
This is new?
No. Well, yes, no. It is part of the first CRD-related part. It's not part of DTR. So you have a notification of just saying...
Okay, forget the guides. All we're talking about is functional criteria. It doesn't matter if someone's going to receive a 278 back and get notification, right? It doesn't matter. Functional criteria that's listed, is this the functional criteria we have to meet with the specifics of either triggering a smart app, using CDS hooks, using a 278? Do we agree that those highlighted items are the minimal requirements that we would recommend, and then we're going to add to it or not? These are what we discussed and was put in. A few of these that are highlighted, we did not discuss as a group. Otherwise, we did. We did discuss, identify when a prior authorization is necessary. Discuss the capture of the digital signatures, but Hans has put a question on that one. So we're not. Yes,
Patrick. So, yeah, are you saying, just to nail it down, is like, for example, 12C, are you saying 12C, since it's highlighted, are we agreeing that that is a functional requirement? Is that what you're asking?
Okay. Yes, yes. And then we can go into specifics after we agree, what is our minimum criteria? And all these that are highlighted were either in Hans' presentation or are in Hans' presentations, and they're in the RFI, which ONC is asking clarification on. And in my mind, in addition to a few of these other ones, are needed in order to support a complete prior auth, regardless in a vendor agnostic perspective. Can we agree on that? Since we've already discussed each one of these highlighted ones, we've discussed on a call and compiled. We will wordsmith later. It's the content we're talking about today, not words.
Yeah, as long as you put the color to the signature piece, maybe some other color, I think everything else is good.
Okay, so, and it's just the highlighted. We're going to go through the ones that are not highlighted because we did not agree as a group if it should be minimum or a phased in.
So Tammy, and I think maybe we're myself and maybe a few others, is some of this wording is extremely specific. So if you're saying we're agreeing conceptually with what it says, but we can wordsmith it,
yes.
that's a much easier ask.
Yes, yes.
Okay.
Yes, yes.
Okay.
I'm just trying to move this a little quicker than, you know what I mean?
Yeah, no, I'm with you now. I'm with you now.
Okay. If there's any disagreement that the content of these highlighted functional criteria, which is represented in the presentation, represented in the ONC RFI, and we discussed previously, should not be a minimum criteria, let me know.
Generally in agreement. I'm just having a tough time getting to the Google document to be able to read everything specifically because it's not popping up as having.
We will wordsmith. It's the functional capability.
I'm just trying to get access to the Google Doc. That's what I'm trying.
Okay. Now let's go through. And again, we don't have much time, so we're not going to get totally where we needed to be, but. Ability to place a patient flag to identify if a plan's PA requirement for a particular patient service is waived due to the ordering of physician being gold card. Is this a minimum requirement? Is this a physician requested functional criteria for their particular vendor? Those are the two questions I need. So should it be a minimum or should it be a recommendation, recommended optional item?
I would say recommendation.
I'm sorry, recommended or?
Recommendation, yeah.
Okay, so an optional recommendation.
Yeah, I agree, because in reality, wouldn't it just be authorization not required?
Right.
That's all it is. When you're saying, if we're saying this is the rule that either required the authorization is not required, the authorization concerns me a little bit because we're saying provider gold carded, authorization not required.
Right.
Okay.
So recommendation, not criteria.
Okay.
Heather?
Yeah, I guess I'm a little confused about the recommendation, not criteria thing. And I guess I'm a little fuzzy on what that means. And also, I mean, I do think it's important that the system can support this. I mean, Texas has a law requiring health plans to offer gold crediting programs, and it's likely that other states and perhaps, you know, federally, this will be required. So it seems like this should be an important, like the technology should support it. So I'm not, I mean, I think it should be part of the criteria. I mean, part of the initial is a prior auth required piece. I guess I'm not sure what we're saying.
So Heather, I think what we're saying is the response will be authorization is not required. And we know under the covers, it was because, or the engine or the decision was made based upon the fact that that provider is gold carded, right? Well, the question is, do we need to respond back and say prior authorization is not required? And the reason is gold carded. That's a little bit, that's where the distinction is. Typically, we just say it's not required.
I think, and Heather, correct me, but I think where Heather's coming is even before the prior auth process, because you're going to know what prior auth procedures are going to be gold card and you don't even need to submit for one. How do you put a patient flag in so you know that you don't need to submit for prior auth because you've been gold carded out of that procedure? And so then that question is more of a technical question for me is, I hate to put that requirement if there's a certain place in the workflow the provider wants it, because this can easily be built. It's not hard to put a patient flag in relatively. So that's why I didn't know if it should be more a recommendation than a criteria, because otherwise you have to determine the workflow, right? For that piece of it, which is it's really pre-prior auth, right?
It's CRD.
Well, the source of that data is the payer, not the EHR. So it's not going to be on the patient EHR. They're going to have to query the payer either way.
Okay, David, Raj, let's keep this
exactly
because we got eight more.
Keep going. Yeah, I'm good. I think Dave explained. This is the payer's criteria. This is nothing to do with the provider ability to do anything. So because payer would respond based on the gold carded, you know, information. So
this is important for a consideration from a developer perspective, but not a mandated requirement.
Right.
But okay. I'm sorry, but aren't all the prior auth requirements from the payer side? I mean, all CRD is dictated by whether or not a payer requires prior auth for a particular patient on a particular service. So I'm not sure how this is different.
Well, you're asking for an ability to say when a prior auth is not needed before the procedure, correct?
If you read that line, it is about flagging a patient. That's what we are saying is not a criteria. We are not saying the automation part. So I think read the first phrase of that requirement. That'll make sense. Ability to place a patient flag. This is what we are saying is not a criteria, because you would get automatically because of the gold card, don't require, happens on the payer system, the rule comes through the CRD. But why would we do on the provider side as a mandate, flag the patient because of this? That is before that even happens, so which is pretty hard to do it. So that's why we are saying it's a recommendation, not a criteria.
I mean, I see what you're saying. I guess, and I'm fine with it. The first kind of green box, if we could work the gold carding piece into that first green box, I'm totally okay. Cause I think it's all part of that first. Raj is like, yes, Heather, you're finally getting what I'm trying to say. Yeah. I think if the gold carding piece is clear in that first green box, the request authorization necessity piece, then I'm cool. Yeah.
Okay. So you want that change back to the way it was. We can do that. Okay, digital ID cards, is that out of scope? Again, with a recommendation, I shouldn't say with a prerequisite that's recommended to continue to look into how digital ID cards can.
I'm not sure how that's in considering the flows where this is initiated. The patient should already be known. So I'm not sure what this is unique or specific that needs to be reintroduced into the EPA flow. From a provider perspective, if there is a need that a patient is going to start the prior authorization flow, which I understand that's not the case, they would like to be up to date with where it is, but they're not going to initiate it. So that's why I'm not sure where this fits.
Daryl, do you mind speaking to it from an ICAD perspective? I'm not quite sure where to put it. I understand the value, just I'm not sure where this would make sense.
Yeah, I think I'm going to have to think about this a little bit in terms of where to put it. But I do think that it needs to be addressed, and maybe it's an overall principle that might work.
Okay. Okay, electronically support patient requests for advanced EOBs to provide estimated costs for approval. Now, I know that, you know, the patient isn't built in the workflow right now, so I'm seeing that's a forward-thinking future criteria that we need to have mentioned so that people can build to it. Anybody in disagreement of that?
Cheryl raised her hand.
Cheryl? No, but I think we need to take a break, Tammy, because we're beyond the time for public comment.
Oh, so, how did that happen? Yeah. Okay.
Well, we have a very robust conversation today, okay. So maybe we need to move to public comment and then...
Okay, and then we can come back to this one, so...
All right. Thank you, Cheryl and Tammy. We're going to now open up our meeting for any verbal public comments. So if you are on Zoom and would like to make a comment, please use the hand raise function, which is located on the Zoom toolbar at the bottom of your screen. If you happen to be on the phone only, press *9 to raise your hand. And once called upon, press *6 to mute or unmute your line. We'll pause here just for a moment to see if we have any public comments. Okay, I'm not seeing any public comments, so I'll turn it back to Cheryl and Tammy.
All right, go ahead, Tammy, see if we can finish up that point.
Okay, you need to, I can't use the screen, okay. So anything with the patient request, I will put as future criteria.
Mm-hmm.
And the next one, I don't know if I can get the screen back. I think we have to have the public comment stuff up. Okay. The other is ability to access authorization status using a patient level indicator with the inclusion of gold card. Would that be a minimum or a moving toward next phase criteria?
Can you share the spreadsheet again? We don't
I can't because we have to show the
hand
raise function. So it's ability to access authorization status using a patient level indicator flag includes information related to the status of the PA request for a specific patient and ultimate the PA determination. I'm thinking it should be minimum. Anybody in a disagreement with that?
If it falls in the category of patient need to know the status, that is yes.
Yeah. Okay. The other one we have is, and I'm going to, it's clinical workflow auto trigger CDA on behalf of the physician or designated healthcare staff. Does that need to be minimum criteria or I guess it has to be minimum criteria, right?
Can you paste the text in the chat at least? Because
oh, yeah. Okay. That would work. Just a second. I got to figure out how to get to the chat. Oh, here. It looks like I can take the screen again. Here we go. Clinical workflow auto triggers CDA on behalf of the physician or designated healthcare staff. Is that a minimum or is that something we have to drive toward?
I'm not sure what that means.
Is it supposed to be CDS maybe? I'm confused about what that even means.
Right.
I would think that this is document piece, right?
Right. Well, I think discrete pieces of data would be more useful than the full CDA.
Right. And when it's CCDA then, I think, and it could be multiples. And
so it's going to be both. It would be both, right? It's the document and the artifacts, both.
So we call bundle.
It's just data set. It's
and the data set can be document or
can be anything.
Okay. Auto-triggered. And it's, I think it's the collection. Someone made the wanted to make the point that the documentation support would be auto-triggered. I think that's what was trying to be made in that one.
Yeah, and I think this needs a little bit more review because I must say I'm having a very hard time following this, not having this spreadsheet. Okay.
It's right on Google Docs, the top of the Google Docs. But we're going to be putting this document up so that we can start looking on this one. So minimum word smithing, obviously. And what about acknowledgement? Receive and record an acknowledgement of receipt from payer. Is that a minimum? I think it is, but.
Yes.
Okay, the other is role-based workflows. I think that's a minimum. I can't even imagine how you can do this without that. Anybody disagree? I know we talked about that. All the patients I'm going to put as the phased. Triggers for expiring PA to promote renewal activities. I think it's a minimum. Anybody disagree with the minimum? Okay, automatic forwarding copies of all submission responses to those patients. Is this one still a forward thinking or is it a minimum? I don't know where the capabilities are today.
I don't know. I would say this is forward thinking because I don't know if patients opted in, if they would want to see everything either. They may want to only know where it is and at what state versus everything that's been submitted.
Okay. And then all health IT vendors, including business associates, shall implement procedures and utilize mechanisms to ensure the confidentiality of medical information. This is definitely minimum.
Yeah, that's right? Minimum.
Yep.
All right. I think we're going to have to leave it there, Tammy, because we only have a couple minutes to do our homework assignments.
Okay. Can I give a quick update and then you can take it away? I am going to be updating this document. What I'm going to really be leaning on all the technical experts out there is to put in this extra column will be what functional specific criteria, okay, can be, what standards can be used to satisfy those functional criteria that we've identified. I will also, by the end of day, be putting a complete Word document with the RFI questions and our consensus responses. I'm not going to redline anything. So review everything. And this is our time to start wordsmithing, put comments in, and I will either get them incorporated or we will discuss them on our next call. All the content should be on that Word document. I will be going to the Google Docs and pulling everything out. So now we should be able to move toward wordsmithing on the majority of these questions. And we do need cost numbers. So anybody who has cost numbers, please get them to us, okay?
And Tammy, just to clarify, the column that you're looking at, the task force column, the aim is there to be at the level of granularity that we think the functional capabilities and therefore the certification criteria would need to be, correct?
Yes.
Okay. So with that, I do expect that there's going to be some suggestion to still split some of the cells into multiple.
Yes, that's fine.
And from that perspective, that spreadsheet is really helpful. I understand that it is all over in the Google Docs in the early start.
No, I'm going to be putting it there. All I did was took the functional criteria that we talked about or people provided and put it together in that Google Docs. And I only took the Google Docs and put it here. So nothing was added except for recommendations from our task force. So all the comments and content should be there. So now we should be able to flesh it out into the approach that I think Raj was mentioning, right? Then we can figure out how can we bundle some of these actual specs. But we got to do a lot of this work behind the scenes and then go through the wordsmithing on the next, I think we only have two calls, guys.
Yeah, next Thursday. We have a meeting from 10 to 11:30, and then also please add to your calendars that additional meeting on March 7th at the same time. So it's going to be very important. I'll reinforce what Tammy said for everyone to go in, reread the entire document, make sure that any additional comments are made and any areas that are not complete or don't feel complete, make sure you add your comments there as well. And hopefully, if you can please have all your comments made, I would say by next Tuesday night would be preferable. That way, Tammy and I will have the time to go in and then clean up anything that we need and get it prepared for our meeting on Thursday.
Okay, anything? so we have one meeting next week and then two meetings the following week?
No, we only have one meeting next week and then the 7th, and that's it.
We were adding an extra meeting in there.
We did, but the submission is the 10th. So we only have two meetings left. So we've got a lot to do in two meetings.
Okay, you guys, really, if you can look at this on Friday or over the weekend so we can have all the comments in on Monday. Because it takes, we're still working on the attachment took a little bit. I think it'll make it easier for us to get this more finalized and use people's time more wisely.
Okay. Monday for the homework.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Tammy. And thank you everybody for your hard work on this.